We're up to Terakuf Chaf Gimel in Likudei Moran, and this Torah is very, very important. Very important. Look at the wording that it starts off with, because this sentence is found, this introduction is found once in this Sefer. Ho'ikar, the word Ho'ikar, Rabbi Nezal uses in a few places. Rabbi Nezal says Ho'ikar hi emuna, and Ho'ikar this, Ho'ikar that. He doesn't use what he's going to say now. Ho'ikar, v'hayisoid, shehakol tolui boi, the main thing and the foundation upon which everything is dependent. Everything depends on what we're about to say is lekasher atzmoi lahatzadik shebedoyer, for a person to be mekasher himself, to attach himself to the tzadik of the generation. And okay, now the question is, what does that entail, and what, and how, and when? Rabbi Nezal says, ulekabel dvorov, and to accept his words, al kol asher yoimar ki hu zeh, on any item that he says, whatever he says, to accept it verbatim, without any difficult, without any problem, without having to change it at all, that's pshat, to be mekasher oneself to the tzadik hador. Rabbi Nezal says, dovor koton v'dovor godel, whether it be a small item or a big item. Ulivli lintois chas v'sholom midvorov yomin usmoil, and the person should not waver from the words of the tzaddik emes, not to the right, not to the left, not to try to be more machmir than him, and not to be less machmir, not to say, well, he's a Rebbe, so he's got to be stricter, I can be lighter. Kemoi Sham Razal, as the Sifri says, in Parsha Shoftim, on the Posuk Lo Sosur Yomin Usmoil, the Sifri darshins, Afilu Oimer Lecho Al Yomin Smoil, that when it says, don't turn away to the right or to the left, what does that mean? That if a tzaddik, if a person's Rebbe tells him that the right hand is the left hand, and the person says, no, I disagree with him on this item, that's called a pigamen emunas hachomim. Emunas hachomim means if he tells you it's night when it's day, you have to accept it 100%. Now again, this is not from the Sifrei Kabbalah. Sifri is a medrash, period. Very straight. It's something that everybody learns. It's quoted in all shuls. Ulahashlech me'itoi kol hachochmais. The person is required to throw away from himself all chachmais. Ulesalek datoi, to remove his own das completely. Ki'ilu ein loy shum sechel, as though he has no sechel whatsoever. Bil odai, except ashe yekabel, what he receives, mehatzadik vohorav shebedoyer, from the tzadik or the rav of that doyer. This is what Rabbi Nezal says. Now, okay, that's scary. That's not scary enough, though. V'chol zman shenishar etzloi shum seichel atzmoi. If a person finds that at any given period of time he still has some of his own seichel, where it's difficult for him to accept this item. In other words, he can go with his Rebbe or with a tzaddik, he can go at 95%. 5%, I'm just different. I feel differently, I think differently, I can't accommodate this. Einoi bishleimus, that person is not bishleimus, ve'einoi mikusher lahatzadik, and that person is not mikusher to the tzadik. Rabbi Nezal saying here very, very clearly that a person who's not capable of being mevatel his das completely, 100% to a tzadik, is not really mikusher to that tzadik, which means that we have to say in 100% clear terms, b'mechilas kivoidam, we're not trying to be disrespectful. Rabbi Nezal's Talmidim were all very great tzaddikim. We're very, very far from what they were. But there's no question at all that among Rabbi Nezal's Talmidim, there was one Talmud that was successful in accomplishing this. There was one Talmud who was Zeicha, actually two in a sense, Rabbi Moshe Zal, Rabbi Naftali Zal, who are capable of being mevatel their das completely to Rabbi Nezal. Where Rabbi Moshe Zal said that as learned and intelligent as he was, and again, you have to picture what does that mean, as learned, as intelligent as he was, we could never fathom it. I'm saying, you look at his sefer, you take the smartest person, the biggest intellectual, you look at his sefer, and you see that you're a real moron, a real dummy, that compared to him, nobody has any understanding of Chumash or Gemara or life. The way he talks about items, philosophy, every question that he attacks, medicine, whether it be milk, how much milk, is it healthy? I'm saying, he touches on everything, and you can tell that this person had such an unbelievable Chochmah. And yet he said that he was smart enough that when he came to Rabbi Nezal, that when he came to Rabbein Ezal, he was capable of turning off everything of his own, whatever his own mind would dictate. I mean, every person has a mind. His mind would dictate to live in such and such a manner, or to do such and such a thing, or to say such and such a way, or to dress a certain way, or to look a certain way. He was actually capable of shutting it out completely, 100%, and accepting whatever he would hear from Rabbein Ezal. He said that he heard from Rabbein Ezal three things. He knew three things. He heard a fourth thing. He knew a fourth thing. Whatever he learned on his own was not acceptable until it was confirmed with Rabbein Ezal. In other words, he showed such a babyishness to be able to come to Rabbein Ezal. As a person will take out a Yemei Maranat or a Chaim Aran, you'll see that he came to Rabbein Ezal, and the wording that's used there is that he talked out his whole heart to Rabbein Ezal. He was capable of coming, pouring out his whole heart, talking about what was going on at home with his parents, with Minias and everything, talking about every single problem he had, Baruchnias, Bigashnias, everything. He would spill out his entire guts. Now again, you have to picture who you're talking about. He wasn't a 16-year-old baby like we were when we came around. He was 25 or 28 when he met Rabbein Ezal. And at that time, he received smicha from his father-in-law. To get smicha from his father-in-law wasn't what you call today a smicha test. It meant his father-in-law was prepared to make him rav, not of a city at the time, of a district. His father-in-law told him clearly that he was preparing him to take over the rabbonis that he had, which was over a group of cities in that time. Moliv, Kremenitz, a whole group of cities that he listed off there, where his word was law. He was a dayan, and Rav Nosson Zal was prepared to accept that position, no question at all. He was fully competent. Everybody accepted it. And yet, he had such tmimus within him, such a sincerity, that this is the approach that he took in dealing with his own Rebbe. Rabbein Ezal, but I'm saying, look what the wording is here. V'chol zman shenishar etzlo shum seichel atzmoi, Einoi b'shleimus, that person is not b'shleimus, ve'einoi mekusher lahatzadik. Which means that if we talk about Reb Shimon Zal, or this one or that one, they were big tzadikim, they were great, but Rabbein Ezal used the term ve'einoi mekusher lahatzadik. They admitted openly that they weren't capable, they didn't do what he did. He came out better off than all of them, and again, we don't have any sefer from Reb Shimon Zal. There's nothing left whatsoever. From all the other Talmidim in Kirch Ve'or, you have a few words, this one was great in this one was great in that, but zero, there's nothing left. Moshe Rabbeinu had Talmidim. Yehoshua wasn't the only one in the class, there's no question about that. Yehoshua was Nar. He was a baby. He came and he asked questions and details and everything. He asked every little question, and he played with the chairs, setting up the chairs, and loy mosh mitaycha oihel. He was busy. He had a family. He had kids. He was able to drop everything and hang around Moshe Rabbeinu's tent. This is why from Yehoshua there was something left. Moshe Rabbeinu passed away. He was the one who was zecha to lead Klal Yisrael afterwards. Any Torah that we have today from Moshe Rabbeinu is credited to Yeshua. There's no question at all. There were other Talmidim and fine, but there wasn't much left out of all of them. The only one where there was a zecha left was the one who was capable, the one or the ones who were capable of going on in such a manner. By Rabbi Shimon Yehoi Zal, you look at the Zohar Kodesh, you see that there it wasn't one. They had a group of people who had such unbelievable tmimus. Again, we're talking about amoroim. We're not talking about kids. We're talking about each one was a Rosh Yeshiva. He was ready to run a whole yeshiva. He was ready to be Mechaya Mason. As the Zohar Kodesh itself says, these guys did it. Each one of them, this one was Mechaya Mason. This one killed a few malochim. Each one did different things like that. And yet you see the tmimus, they came into him. They said, we don't understand this at all. Please explain it. And whatever he said, kol ha-sheyemar ki huzeh, that was what they followed. This is why today there's a zecher left to them. There's a Zohar Kodesh, which is credited not to Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Zal, it's credited to a chavraya. There was a group, there was real achdus, there was tmimus, there's something left of it. Rabbein Ezal says, V'Yisrael, be'es kabolas ha-Torah, v'yidn, at the time that they received the Torah on Har Sinai, hoyu lohem chachmais gedolos. At that time, there was a lot of chachma in the people's heads at the time. They were big intellectuals. Ki oz hayu oiv de avodah zarah shebiyameihem, because then there were the idol worshippers that lived in their time. Shehoya ta'usam al pi chachmois v'chakirois gedolois kiyodua, whose mistakes came about. It's not that these guys were morons. They couldn't figure out what to do, so they worshipped a tree. It's not like they were that dumb. You look at the books that they had. There was whole deep philosophy involved in their whole sforas of an avodah zarah, an intermediary to get that. They were almost right in some of the things. It was just besartim. They were a drop off, 1 degree off, so it was avodah zarah. But there was a tremendous degree of wisdom in that time, ki yodua, as is brought in the Sifrei Kabbalah. I think I once mentioned it in a shir a little while ago, that the Shel HaKadosh says it. Don't be stupid. Don't think that they worshipped idols there. Min astam, we're talking about Dor Deo. They made an Egel Hazov. It wasn't that they saw Moshe, daddy went away and they got all nut. They didn't have the bottle, so they made an Egel Hazov. They were big tzaddikim. They had shemois. They had a plaque for Moshe Rabbeinu. They knew how to do Kabbalah Maisis. There was big action that went on here. But Rabbeinu Zal says that at the time of Kabbalah Satayra, there was big chachmas. V'lulei shehoyu Yisrael mashlichen me'atzmon ha'chachmas. If not for the fact that the Jews were capable of throwing away their own chachmas completely, lehayu mekablam ha'tayra, they definitely would not have received the Torah. Ki hayu yechaylin likfor bakoil chas v'shon. They could have been kofer in everything. V'lehayu mo'yelohem kol ma'ashos o'mesh Rabbeinu imohem. And whatever Moshe Rabbeinu would have attempted to do with them wouldn't have helped. Now note what we're saying here. You have Moshe Rabbeinu, you have a big tzaddik, you have a Talmud. Moshe Rabbeinu can do zero for the Talmud. This is what's being said here. Whatever he could have done for them would not have helped until they were capable of throwing away their own chachmas completely. Even all the wondrous miracles that Moshe Rabbeinu did in front of their eyes, would not have helped for them whatsoever. Why? Rabbeinu Zal says, even nowadays there are found apikursim, hakoifrim, who are koifer in Hashem, al yidei shtus, v'toz chachmosam, through a stupid mistake. It's not like they're just out and out Rishonim. You talk to people in the world who don't believe in Hashem. I'm working with a zhlub now at work, I just started a project with, who's an agnostic, a putz, in other words. And you start talking to him and he presents himself as an intellectual. You know, there's no question. He actually believes he's intelligent. And he talks two words and you see that he's oozing with stupidity. He's dumb. In other words, a few minor mistakes which have him completely off track, he's messed up. But the same way that this guy is off balance, you have religious Jews who are lame deter and everything, also off balance, whether it be with Kriya Shema, whether it be in speaking against Tzadikim Amitim, whether it be Pigama Baris, each one has his Ruach Shtus. We just learned the Gemara recently, what does that mean? That the guy sees a red light go off on his mind that says stupidity? No, just the opposite. He sees a red light that go on that says smart, intelligent, that it's going to be, it's a chachma to go into znus, to get involved in Pigama Bris, to have taiva smamayin, to have a taiva for kovay. All of these things, to him it appears like a chachma. He doesn't know that he's making a mistake, and if he were capable of turning off his, finding a Rebbe Emes and turning off his own mind completely, he would be able to go on the Derech HaYosha without any problem. Rabbeinu Zal says, Ach Yisrael am kodosh ro ha'emes, but the Jews who are a holy nation, they saw the truth. V'hishlichu ha'chachmais, they threw away their chachmas completely. V'heaminu b'Hashem u'v'moshe avdoi, they believed in Hashem and in Moshe Rabbeinu his servant. V'yidei zeh kiblu ha'tayra. And that's how they were zecher to receive the Torah. Rabbeinu Zal says now, "Vahainu she targum unkolois." This is why the targum unkolois says on the pasuk, "Am novel v'loy chacham." The Jews are a nation. Novel means nevela, filthy. They filthy v'loy chacham and no brains. Am novel v'loy chacham, a nation of nevelis and no chachma. The targum unkolois says on that pasuk, Amo de kabilu oiraiso veloi chakimu, a nation which was zeche to receive the Torah, and they weren't smart. Now the question is, what does this mean? This doesn't make sense at all. Number one, what does that have to do with am novel? What does novel have to do with de kabilu oiraiso? How do you try? What? That's a direct translation. Nevela means to receive the Torah. And what's v'loy chakimu? Rabbi Nezal says, Ki ikar kabbalas ha-toyra ha-hoyo al-yedei v'loy chakimu. The ikar kabbalas ha-toyra on the part of Bnei Israel was through the fact that they were not chachomim. Hainu al-yedei shehishlichu me'itom kol ha-chochmois kanal. They were capable of throwing away from themselves completely all chochmois. Vze novel, that's the term novel, Roshe Tevois, Lamed Beis, Nesivus, Hachochma, as the Sefer Yetzira begins. Novel is Lamed Beis, the Nun stands for Nesivus. Of what? Novel, Vloy Chochom. These are the 32 pairs of Chochma, because the Torah is called Das. We mentioned many times, the Torah is called Das. What is Das a combination of? What is Das a combination of? Chochma and Bina. Chochma is Lamed Beis, Bina is Nun. Chochma is 32 pairs of Chochma, Bina is Nun Shari Bina. This is the word novel. This is the word novel. Am novel, v'lei Chochma, Rosh Teves, Lamed Beis Nesivus. Shehu Klolius HaTorah. Lamed Beis Nesivus, that's Kaila, the whole Torah, because the Sifrei Kabbalah bring, that's the sign why the Torah begins with the letter Beis and ends with the letter Lamed, showing that within the Torah is contained all 32 paths of wisdom that exist. Vehi HaChochmo HaAmitiyos, and the Torah is the only real Chochmo Asher, sorry, Vehi HaChochmo, right. V'hi ha-chochma amitiyos, the Torah is the real chochma, asher etzlo kol ha-chochma is betelim. Compared to it, all other chochmas become bottle. They fall away to nothing. V'hainu novel, this is the term novel, shehi b'chinas ha-Torah, ha-mikras, nevlois ha-chochma helyena. The Torah HaKadosh is called, the Medrash uses the term nevlois ha-chochma. It like oozes forth like a geyser. Nevlois is like a geyser shoots forth water. That type of expression. Nevlois to shoot forth water. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, O boy ure, come and see. She'ato mevur meyushav ha-targum hazeh. Now, this targum is completely clear and explained 100%. Shehu plia gedayla. This is a fantastic wonder. V'chol ha'elam t'meim, all of the whole world that learns chumash with targum, they wonder, there's no way to explain this. Ma inyan tevas novel. What's the association between the word novel, l'targumay al-kabbalah satera, to what the targum says, amo de kabilu ayraisa. What does the word novel have to do with Mekabel the Torah? Ach ato, but now, ma nimletzu lecheich divrei hatargum hoelu. How sweet to the palate are the words of this targum. It fits beautifully now. Take a look at the aleph, which points you on bottom. V'ayin sheich hatoif tehillim kuf yutes. Look at the Medrash Sheich HaTayif going on capital in Tehillim, capital Kuf Yutes, where it says over there, "Betmimus kiblu Yisrael es haTorah." The Jews received the Torah with tmimus. Now Rabbi Nisal adds, "Vehoikar hoavido lihiyos tam viyosher yirehu elikim v'sor meira b'li shum chochmais." The main avoida in coming close to Hashem is to be tam v'yosher yirei elikim v'sor meira b'li shum chochmais, without any wisdom at all. Which means if a person says that I'm Breslov, but I have my own seichel, it means there's a contradiction there, because this sefer says that being Breslov means not having any of your own chochmais. Anything that's in your mind, you either got it from a sefer or you got it from a Rebbe. One of those two. If you don't have a Rebbe, you're not Breslov also. Whatever statement comes out of a person, anything related to Gashmis or Ruchnis, he should be able to quote, to base it on a statement that he received from his Rebbe, Zichrona Livracha, or if his Rebbe is alive, or to be able to base it on a Sefer, on a Breslov of a Sefer. If he can't, it means he's obviously not abiding with the Sefer. It means with this Torah. It means he obviously has some Chachma on his own. Besides what he learned in Likutei Moran, Likutei Tefilos, he learned in the bathroom, or in his underwear, or somewhere else, he learned other things, which he uses as part of his decision-making, period. Part of his own wisdom, or what he heard from his parents, or his in-laws, whatever it is. Rabbi Mizal says here that the definition of Kabbalah Satira means Asei Lechora Vehistalik Min HaSofek. It means that your whole Histalkus from Sofek, your whole direction in life is going to come from him. And if it doesn't, it means you're not Mekusha to him. It means you attend the shiur and you listen and you're nice, you take... It's like going to college. You had classes where you learned music and this, that, and you have a Rebbe who taught you Torah. He gave you some advice, no question about it. Rabbi Nizal says here that the definition of that ho'ikar v'hayisoid she'akil toluboy is l'kasher atzmai, to be makusher, to be completely attached. And Rabbi Nizal says here that completely attached means to an extent where a person has no chachmois of his own whatsoever. He wouldn't render any decision on any topic unless he heard it from his Rebbe. As you look in the Gemara in a few places, Rebbe's, I used to mention this when we learned Gemara, if you recall, the Gemara says that a person asked a Tana a certain question. He told him, I can't say anything on this because I didn't hear anything from my Rebbe on this. That's the attitude that Tanoim had in some cases. Rabbi Nizal says now, who is the biggest chacham in existence? There's no question. We can answer that question in a second. Shlomo HaMelech. Shlomo HaMelech in chachma was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. The Torah itself testifies. The Torah says, Shlomo HaMelech, Olav Shalom, Achar Shekosuv Boi Vayechkam Mikol Hodom. After the Torah wrote that he was zecha to be smarter than all other human beings, Omar Shlomo HaMelech said in Mishlei, Ki bar onoichi meish, I am the foolishest of all people. I have less seichel. The word bar means a sochel, an idiot. Ki bar onoichi meish, I'm far from intelligence of rating as a human being, v'loy binas odom li, and I have no human comprehension. This is what he said in Mishlei, which means this wasn't baloney. He wasn't talking to his Rebbe and trying to TL him or anything. He was coming out very straight. This is what he put down on paper eternally. This was his opinion of himself. Ki bar onoichi meish, v'loy binas odom li. You open up a Likutei Tfilos. Look how many times these words are found there. You could understand why he was Rav Moshe Zal. He was so great. He looked, he spent a few years looking until he found a Rebbe who was incredible, very high caliber. Once he found it, that was it. He was Mevatel Zon Das. He sucked up whatever Rabbeinu Zal had. And proof is, look what he did. He went into the Limud of Shulchan Aruch. He didn't sit down with Rabbeinu Zal to learn Eir HaChaim or Yerideya, but he was so fabulous at having been Mevatel his Das, that now anything he turned to look at Shulchan Aruch. He didn't look at Shulchan Aruch. It wasn't Rav Moshe Zal looking at Shulchan Aruch. It was Rabbeinu Zal looking at Shulchan Aruch. Elamai, Rabbeinu Zal didn't have the time or the capacity or whatever it is to be able to write the Sefer Likutei Halachos. So he had a Shamus who wrote it for him. He had a Shamus, a real Shamus, one who was Nar, Yeshua was Nar Liyomish Mitei Chayel, one with the greatest Anova conceivable, who was able to look at Shulchan Aruch or at Gemara or at anything else exactly the way Rabbeinu Zal would have looked at it. To be able to take the Likutei Moran and implement it wherever he wanted to. You look at Rav Nachman Shigurin Zal, the same thing. With all his learning and everything, what did he do? He proved how Breslov he was. He could take the Likutei Moran, go through all four Halakim Shulchan Aruch with it. Go through, he could take any one topic, Shabbos, he'll go through the Holy Likutei Moran. In other words, his whole Torah, the funnel into which everything he learned and from which everything he said came out of, was the Tzadik Emes, his Iskashus to these Sforim. And you look again the way Rav Koch Elezar wrote to Rebbe Zal, you want to be Breslov, you have to know you want to do something for your father's neshama, the best thing you can do is learn these Sforim, because these Sforim will show you how to approach Shas, Shulchan Aruch, how to approach everything. Without these Sforim, you could learn Gemara, you could learn Shulchan Aruch, you'll come out with mistakes, technically, in physical terms. Otherwise, Baruchni is Hashkafa-wise, you come out with the wrong impression. Proof is, you have people who learn Gemara, and they're atheists. People are learning Talmud in colleges, and they write books that are completely upside down. They're learning the same Gemara. The Torah is Samchaim Samoves. And unless a person is zeichet to seek out a Rebbe Emes and to be mevatel his das to him, he leaves himself open for making mistakes, chas v'shalom. Rabbi Nizal says that Shlomo HaMelech said, Ki bar onoichi meish v'loy binas odom li, v'chein omar Osof, and Osof, the son of Korach. What was Korach's mistake? He was a chaker, chakira, thought. He said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we were all on Har Sinai. What are you any better than anybody else? All of us got the Torah from Hashem. Who says one guy is a boss or anything? Everybody's equal. We all had the same Rebbe Hashem. This was Korach's impression. What did Osof, his son, say? One of the few sons who remained alive. What did his son say? Va'ani ba'ar. I am a fool. V'loy eda. I have no knowledge at all. Behemois ha'yisimach. I was like a behemoth in my service of Hashem. I acted like a behemoth, which means complete tmimus. Osof, right. Osof, when we say in Tehillim, Mizmor la Osof, Osof was one of the sons of Korach. The Gemara says, Bnei Korach lai mesu. These sons of Korach didn't die. Right, that's the sons of Korach. That's one of them was Osof. V'chein ksiv, and also the Pasuk says in Mishlei again, Ein chachma ve'ein tvuna ve'ein etza l'neged Hashem. That when it comes to dealing with Hashem, there's no chachma, there's no tvuna, there's no etza. The person is not allowed to have any chachma of his own, or any tvuna of his own, or any etza of his own. What should he do? Yelech etzel chacham. He should go to a Talmud chacham and receive chachma and tvuna and etza. Again, we said that this is the way the Jewish religion was designed. It was set up this way. Rabbi Salt said many, many times that Pirkei Avos were the selected statements of the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah. What does Pirkei Avos begin with? Moshe kibel Torah miSinai u'mesora liYahishua v'Yahishua leZikenim u'Zikenim. That there's a chain. There's a chain that must be maintained. And every single one on this chain, you know how he got his name on this chain? There were many other people around at the time. You know why this one's name, why Yahishua is mentioned, and not Kolev, and not Chur, and not the... Because he was the one who was to be most successful, most talented in being Mavatal Es Das. That's the talent that each one of these Talmidim had that made him the greatest. You look at what made Rebbe Zal unique among his Chaverim. You see again, a certain beetle, he wouldn't stand for any garbage. Whatever it says in these Sforim, that's what he lived by. You look at him. Take any act that he did, whether it was how he dealt with Hilchas Pesach, how he dealt with his wife, with his everything. You could, any person who has any brains could relate it to here, could get it, could see that he got it only from here. There was no chachmas on his own. And you see many times in the Shulchan Aruch Shiurim, other things, the way he spoke, that there's no such thing, kach kibalti, and that's it. As much, I don't care, in other words, I learned Shulchan Aruch, there's 12, it's all baloney, it's nothing. Judaism means find somebody good and mirror him. Rabbeinu Zal had this story that he told in Kech Ve'or about a king who gave two people a job to do. One did it great, the other didn't. He made a mirror, and both of them were zecha to remain alive. And again, a mirror. If you have a mirror and one piece is a little cloudy, it's not a mirror, it's ugly. The whole beauty of a mirror is if it has nothing of its own. Put a little jelly on a mirror, in other words, just to make it smell good, it's a mirror. It's not serving its purpose. The purpose of a mirror is that it should have nothing of its own except what you put into it. You want to look in there and it should show you exactly what your face looks like. If it gives you one iota more or one iota less, it's not a mirror. And Rabbeinu Zal says, Talmud means mirror. And Reb Kalman, I don't know if you would recall, you were there at the time when he was once explaining the whole business about why Rav Nosson Zal switched around the Torah and the Likutei Moran. When Rabbeinu Zal wrote the Likutei Moran originally, Torah Beis was the first Torah that Rabbeinu Zal had, and Rav Nosson Zal took upon himself the achrayas to switch around to place what's today Torah Aleph in the beginning, because he said, this is what Reb Kalman said, Torah Aleph tells you the whole concept of Rebbe. In other words, it's Breslov HaChassidus in a nutshell, that there's the sun and there's the moon. That's Breslov HaChassidus. That's this Torah. There's the sun and the moon. If the moon has a scratch on it, it's not the moon anymore. If the moon has nothing of its own, it's the moon. Tefillah, again, Rabbeinu Zal said to make from Torah tefillah. If a person puts any of his own chachmas into tefillah, he should know that he's subtracting from the tefillah. Whatever, in other words, whatever lack of Torah knowledge there is, where a person starts thinking up his own chachmas, conjuring up his own sichlios, he should know that there's a pigam in the tefillah. It's not real tefillah, because real tefillah is when the tefillah is mevatel itself to the Torah. That's real tefillah. As the Pusik says, Meisir oznoi mishmaya Torah, gam tefillah sayteva, showing that the whole binyan of tefillah comes from Torah. It's the sun and the moon. That doesn't mean that you have to, your whole tefillah has to be loaded with psukim, but it means again that if you're going to speak to Hashem for an hour and you're going to be saying a lot of things, how do you know that what you're saying isn't wrong? How are you going to be able to gauge yourself to know what to say, what not to say? We have cases in the Gemara. Levi, he tiach, klapi mailo, and he became a cripple. He made a certain statement, it was off color, he became a cripple. We have statements all over the Torah where somebody asked for it, he shouldn't have, he got in trouble. Why? Because this person was not zecha to have the sun and the moon. And the whole chachma, again, what's the greatness of Likutei Tfilos? That it's a mirror to the Likutei Moran. It's a mirror. There's nothing added, there's nothing subtracted. But I mentioned recently, you find certain sforim, again, Rebbe's always quoted Rabbi Nachman Shigerinzal as goin. This was the goin. I saw Rabbi Nachman Shigerinzal wrote a sefer Yerach HaYisonim, where he talks about the month of Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah and everything. What does he write now? Usually, I remember hearing from Saul, for example, you know, when I was first coming around, he once mentioned to me that he hates reading Hagdamas to sforim. Because most sforim, generally, you look at a Hagdamah, it's you want to get to the sefer. Hagdamah is playing around. Get to the sefer, see what it says. But certain sforim, it's understood if a sefer is written by a Rav Moshe Zal or by somebody like, or you have the Hagdamah to the Kisvei Arizal, it's understood that you're not going to have any idea whatsoever how to approach this item unless you learn the Hagdamah. Hagdamah, he's telling you, let me tell you what my purpose for writing this was, who I'm addressing. Rav Moshe Zal, right away, in the beginning, he blanks out 99% of the world. He says, don't think that I'm a moron. It's not like you're going to give this sefer to someone and he's going to read it and no lights are going to go off, so you're going to say, I'm an idiot. I tried to write a sefer and I couldn't reach out to this guy. No. I'm telling you straight from the start that the world is split out into two kinds of people. There's the kind of people who are not concerned whatsoever with what's going to be after they're lying flat, feet to the door. Now, Moses also says you should know that that person I'm not addressing here whatsoever. I'm not referring to him. I'm not out to refer to him at all because he is kibbehemo mamish. Moses also says that person is behemo. And this sefer was not written for that kind of behemo. I'm writing it for a person who is concerned about what's going to be at the end, and he's going to attempt to come close to Hashem, and I'm giving him my word that in trying to come close to Hashem, he's going to go through tremendous rough things. He's going to need a lot of help. For this person, I've written these words. They should be kemayim karim al nefesh ayefa. When you're going to be sweating and bursting and going through so much difficulty, you're going to read this. It's going to be a refresher. It's going to cool you. It's going to calm you. It's going to be an energy booster when you need it. It's going to be a relaxant when you need it. It's going to serve whatever functions you want. So again, you look at the Hagdamah, you see what the context of the whole sefer is. This is why Rav Moshe Zal put the first Torah first. In other words, the question is, what's Pshat? Rabbeinu Zal didn't know this? The answer is, that's not the issue. Rabbeinu Zal was the Rebbe, the son. Rabbeinu Zal's way of teaching, Rabbeinu Zal's job was to be the son. Als the son, what's the first limud? Tikkun HaBris, all of those items that I mentioned in Torah Beis, that's the son coming forth. Rav Moshe Zal was speaking from a Talmud standpoint. He was the representative of the rest of the world. Rabbeinu Zal was the Rebbe of the world. Rav Moshe Zal was the Talmud representing the world. He saw that you want to deliver this to the world. The world needs a Hakdamah. True, Torah Beis is the first Torah Likutei Moran. I'm writing a Hakdamah to Torah Beis and a Hakdamah to every other Torah in this sefer. You know what the Hakdamah is? That there's the sun and the moon. There's the sun. If you're not the sun, then you better be the moon. And if you say that you're not the moon, you should know that it's not that you're in between. You should know that you're saying that you're the sun. It's one of the two. It's not possible to be in between. If you're not capable of making yourself the moon, it means you're saying solidly with full arrogance that I'm the sun. Now I'm capable that there's certain decisions I can't make for myself, certain I can. Once you accept that it's not complete bitul, it means you're going to say that I accept 99%. What if accidentally in your calculations you happen to leave out the 1% that was the ikar, that was the aside? A person says, I'm willing to accept the whole religion, except this issue about women. I don't think it's that significant. He just, in other words, tzitzis, tefillin, mikveh, everything, just women, no deal. The guy's a moron. He worshipped a whole different religion because the Zohar HaKadosh says, Ikra de Yitzra Bishalaroyin. So you were close. You did 612 mitzvahs, but unfortunately you did the wrong 612, because the Zohar HaKadosh says that there's one mitzvah which contains within it all other 612, which is Bris. Bris is Bigimatria 612, showing that this one has all 612 other ones in it. So accidentally you left out the wrong one. And this mistake, how hard is it to make? It's very simple. A person makes a slight little error, v'saratem, the Baal Shem HaKadosh says, v'avadatem l'kim acherim. And if a person will think back with Rebbe Zal, different issues, where each one was confronted with a situation where he was asked to do something that he didn't want to do at the time, that he didn't like to do at the time, if he was capable of turning off his mind completely, he came out with the right answer. If he didn't, he came out with the wrong answer. To one person, the expense was $50. To another person, it was $500. To another person, it was $12,000. To another person, it cost him his life, chas v'shalom. Each person suffered a different quantity based on how capable he was of being levatel his das. And the same thing holds true now. The same thing holds true in learning a sefer. We just had this Torah before. Oz amarati nevosi b'medila sefer kosev alai. That when a person learns a sefer, you take out a likut imran, you take out a gemara. If you're not taking it out with the understanding that whatever you see here, you're going to live by, then it's baloney, it's fake. It's not bitul. You're saying that you're the sun. The question is, who's the sun and who's the moon? If this is the sun, then I'm the moon. If this is not the sun, then I'm the sun. And Rachmana Litzlan, any person who says he's the sun and he's not, he doesn't have any authorization, he wasn't told that he's capable to make decisions on his own, to decide for himself, Rachmana Litzlan, a person would have to be crazy, suicidal, to be willing to take a responsibility like that. And if Rachmana Litzlan, a person is told that he has responsibility, that you're capable of deciding for himself, so then the person's a moron. He thinks he has a computer mind, that whatever he says is going to be right, chas v'shalom. It requires, in other words, if that's the case, then why did Rav Nosson Zal have his plate of this? Why did he write a liquid? Why all the action? He could have just said he was told by Rav Nosson Zal that he was a good Talmud. Rav Nosson Zal, or take any, in other words, the example that Rav Nosson Zal gives about Mordechai HaTzadik, the different tzaddikim in every generation, where he knew that he was told that there's going to be a Yeshua, and yet we find that they cry, they put out their hearts begging Hashem. We find Rav Nosson Zal himself. How many tefillahs do we find that he put out his heart begging Hashem, guide me? Rav Nosson Zal says the second paragraph in Sichas Rani said it was his derech. Each and every single day when he would get up in the morning, he would tell Hashem, Hashem, there's millions of decisions that I'm going to be faced with today, and I can mess myself up so bad today. I can take myself today with my own hands and put myself into the Sheol Tachtis, myself, without any outside help. Or I can take myself today and bring myself into Gan Eden. Therefore, hineni mashlich yavi alecha. I don't want to take any of the responsibility on myself. I'm putting it in your hands. That's what Rav Nosson did. Rav Nosson was the Shemesh. He was capable of doing that. Rav Nosson Zal, we find that with all the hispoidus and with all the tefillah, whenever he came to Rav Nosson, he was an open book. You look in any of his forum, the attitude that he took when he came there, he spoke out his whole heart, everything that he could. Rav Nosson told him something, he had this is the wording that's used. Rav Nosson told him something, he had this much. Now, if he came out being so smart that he was able to write all of this, obviously he must have spent a lot of hours talking to Rav Nosson. And each one of us knows in himself, we had a Rebbe, how many hours did we spend speaking to him? And looking back, how far from mature we were at the time to understand how much time should have been spent. He was available. Rav Nosson Zal had half an excuse that he lived 300 miles away, and don't think that that was his own decision either. In other words, you figure, Rebbe Zal said we should all live in one building here and everything. This was Rebbe Zal's own chachma. You have, what better proof do you have than Rav Nosson Zal? Did Rav Nosson Zal live in the same building as Rav Nosson did? That's also baloney. Believe me, Rebbe Zal learned that also. Elamai, it's brought in Kechir, that Rav Nosson has a Torah, where Rav Nosson says, that the Tzaddik Emes knows how to keep plants. Whenever you plant a field, you know that if you ever put two plants side by side too close, one can kill the other one. One has the anika from the other one, it could do damage. Rav Nosson knew that Rav Naftali Zal lived in Breslov at the time. I believe it was Breslov. Breslov or Uman that it's brought about, that I think it's Breslov, that Rav Naftali Zal lived there at the time, and that if Rav Nosson Zal would live there, Chas V'Shalom, it would have caused conflict, it would have caused bombs to go off. This is why Men HaShemayim, it had to be this way. His Haskarvas had to be in such a manner that he had to be distant, where it was harder for him and more difficult, and it took more Mesiras Nefesh, times the way he describes stories, running away from home, and Rachmona Litzlan, the Redifus that he went through when he first came around and everything. This is what made him as great as he was. But again, which person would be foolish enough to think that he's capable of making a decision like this on his own? We had a Rebbe living here. Would any person say that he had the authority, that he had the knowledge to know where to live, or who to marry, or what to do, or how to do, how to breathe, what to eat, what not to eat, what attitude to take towards a boss at work? There were etzes to be given on all of these things, and any person who asked was given advice, how to deal with a boss at work, which boss go to the top man. There were things to be said on every topic. And kol chad lefa man de mishnah b'li, by each person, according to his own anova and his own brains at the same time, was capable of spending more time and more effort and being more open, more honest. Not just to come over and say, oh, I did this great thing. To be able to come over and say, I did this stupid thing. What do I do now? How do I undo it? I got fired from a job. What do I do? How do I react? I lost my tefillin. How do I react? I remember a situation, Rachmana Litzlan, when it happened to me, there was a situation where one time I lost my tefillin. We were coming to Eretz Yisrael from America. We were in a taxi, and we got off at Rebbe Zal's house, and I took out all my luggage, and accidentally my flight bag was left in the taxi. The taxi pulled out, and Rebbe Zal had said at the time, check, make sure all your luggage is here. I checked, I said, yes, the taxi pulled out, that's it. The talis and tefillin were gone. And he exploded at the time, really exploded. There was a real washdown and everything. And then figuring out all kinds of ways to get it back. And it took about 3 days. Unfortunately, my memory is like molasses. I don't remember how we actually got it back, but I remember it was like a 3-day process. And then I had to go somewhere. I had to go to some kind of, I don't know if it was the taxi depot or something, where I finally got it. And when I got it, oh, it was like the worst tragedy had just, there was no question at all, there was no worse tragedy in my life. There was nothing that I had gotten sicker over and that I had gotten smashed for as much as this in my entire life. And Rabbi Zal warned at that time, don't you ever, in other words, you learned a lesson for life, this could never happen to you again, period. 2 years after that, I had an incident. We were coming back from Oman to Eretz Yisrael. We were in a taxi. A mistake happened, of which, in other words, however it happened, who gets full blame? There's no question at all that part of the blame was mine. In other words, it was my tefillin. There was no, in other words, Rebbe Zal found that afterwards there was some kind of story where I asked somebody else to make sure to clean out the car. It was a dumb thing to do, especially you got hurt in this item once. It could happen to anybody other than you. To you, it can't happen. And it happened. The tefillin were lost. We were in Greece. It was 9:00 in the morning on an Erev Shabbos when this incident happened. It got left in a car. Our plane was leaving 1:00 for Eretz Yisrael. It was an Erev Shabbos. And we spent the next 3 hours wild. And it looked at one point like we almost had it. We had gone to a place where the guy said he knows who the guy is, and he spoke to the guy, the guy's coming back. And then it worked out that it seems that it was all a hoax. I don't know what happened. We had to make a plane, and that was it. And we were thinking maybe on the way back to America, I would stop off and pick it up at the taxi stand. This was a taxi stand right by the airport and everything. A whole mishkabamu, the tefillin were lost. That was it, period. You know, 2 pairs of tefillin and a talis and everything. We came back to Eretz Yisrael, and Rebbe Zal at the time was already quite sick. Rachmana Litzlan. This was June, but this was a year before.
This was June.
Came back to summer. I'm saying my memory when it came to that period is so off. I can't remember. This was in June when Rebbe Zal was already severely sick. We were coming back to Eretz Yisrael, and there were about 4 or 5 people then there. And who was there? Again, we're talking about real, intelligent people, ones who were chaverim. In other words, they weren't rishonim. Shelley was there, Rebbe Zal's son, who lived with Rebbe Zal 20 years. You know what I'm saying? He's not a baby, not a dummy, and he knew how to behave in certain things. Saul was there at the time. Again, we're talking about one of Rebbe Zal's closest talmidim, period. Meir Asulan was there, a businessman, also a kupmensch. Certainly you wouldn't deny that there's certain seichel there. All kidding aside, we're talking really seriously. there were people there at the time, and everybody and everybody agreed 100% that there was no question at all that it was forbidden, al pi halacha, al pi anything. If I would tell it to Rabbi Zal, it would be the worst sin, the biggest lunacy conceivable. Number one, he was very, very sick at the time. Picture adding on a little aggravation, a drop of aggravation, you have to be a nut. You tell him something like this, there's no question at all he's going to become very, very upset. I mean, either very angry or very hurt or very, whatever it is, it's going to be bad, no question at all. It's going to be painful. That's number one. And in other words, there were a million reasons, it was out of the question, period. So what do we do? First, you'll use Jesse's, in other words, we were davening in Jesse's apartment at the time, if you recall there. Rabbi Zal was there every morning. You'll make believe, you'll use somebody else's phone after they finish or whatever. Jesse said he wasn't davening with Alman in any way, he davened earlier. I could use his towels and phone while we were davening. And then afterwards, somehow we'll find out where Rabbi Zal gets tefillin from. Somehow you'll get it, but it's not possible. The Metzius doesn't exist to tell him, period. That's it. Was that a question? My personal feeling was, in other words, number one, I from what I recall at the time, it wasn't that I agreed with him at the time, but it took, in other words, I wanted to wait 2 or 3 days just to see if any, who knows, maybe in other words, if I would cry to Hashem enough, Hashem would make a miracle and the tefillin would fall. In other words, I would say to Hashem, just not for my sake, I don't want to bring aggravation to him, do something, get this taxi driver from Greece to come there, to, you know, whatever it, we know that miracles happen. I don't know if I'm worthy of it, but he's worthy of it, no question about it. It's a question of adding suffering to him or not. 2 or 3 days went by and nothing happened. And then there came a different problem. Could you picture, Rachmana Litzlan, what happens if he finds out, that I had a problem and I didn't tell him? Any problem, regardless of what it is, especially a problem pertaining to Ruchnius, we're talking here as a technical standpoint, that what if I happen to buy a pair of tefillin from the same guy where Rabbi Zal got it, but they're 98% good, and if he would have picked it, it would have been 99. How nauseated? In other words, it makes me ois Talmud. Again, it means not beetle. It means you're a Talmud up to a certain point. You could go so far, but there is a certain place where you can't be mavatel. You can't be open with him. You can't tell him. In other words, this mistake, the first time I was able to, the second time I can't tell him because it's going to hurt him. In other words, the Satan puts all kinds of deep thoughts in there. You can't, not for your sake, also your sake. It's for him. It's all kinds of baloney. The net result was, I was zeicha, Hashem did me an unbelievable favor, that I was zeicha to sit down one afternoon. I mentioned to Rabbi Zal, can I tell you something, it's very important. And Jesse said he wanted to be there at the time as a friend. We're talking about real friends. He wanted to be, you know, just in case, no matter what would happen, another person should be there. I said, fine. And I was at the time, again, I didn't know what kind of reaction this could bring, chas v'shalom. Mentioned to Rabbi Zal exactly what happened. And number one, it looked to me that he was so angry. In other words, you get angry, you yell. You get angry, you'll explode. You get angry to a certain point where you won't say anything. He was so seething that he didn't say anything. That's the way it looked at the time when I finished the whole thing. And I was so angry and hurt and everything, every bad thing you could conceive of. And, you know, he asked one or two questions in a very steel manner, cold steel, everything. The whole story was finished and that was it. Finished. In other words, I knew if he would have wanted to say anything, he would say it. In other words, it wasn't a question, now what do I do? I was even afraid or ashamed to say that. If he's willing to tell me what to do, fine. If not, too bad on me, period. In other words, Elamai, I know that I would never want to face him, chas v'shalom, in Elam Harbor or anywhere. He should say, you didn't tell me? You were a liar, you were a fake. You made believe you were a Talmud, you weren't. It's baloney. You weren't mavatel yadas. You can't deny it. So at least I did mine. For a period of time, he was very angry. In other words, of that day. And sure enough, an hour or two later already, now we have to get it replaced. What are we going to do? He was too sick to go out of the house. There was no question at all. So he mentioned to Jesse what to do at the time, how to go about it. And he himself, Rabbi Zal, somehow Jesse brought his, I don't know exactly what was done, but Rabbi Zal picked out, he got the phone replaced. He told me who to, 2 pairs of tefillin. He told me who to go to here in New York to get the talisim that he used to get. The tefillin were replaced, the talis was replaced, that's it, period. That was the end of the story.
to get to the further end of the story, now at this time I was already a consultant. I was working in consulting, I was earning a living, there was Baruch Hashem, no money problems. Rabbi Zal came back to America a while later, and I came up to his house, and the tefillin I didn't get right away. I got the tefillin a few weeks later. When Rabbi Zal came back to America, we left first, and so when he came back to America, that's when he brought back the tefillin. So he brought back the tefillin, I brought one upstairs with money, I had the cash on hand, no problem, to be able to pay for it. He said, no, you know, I don't want to, no money, here's the tefillin, no payment. You know, it didn't even sound funny. In other words, we're talking about $800 at the time, or whatever it was. All of us knew what Rabbi Zal was, what his financial status was, especially that time with the hospital business, what was going on, what kind of medication and everything. And he just came from an Oman trip and everything. You know, I said to him, please, you know, it's not even, there's no dream of a circle to this. This isn't even a joke, like, it's not even funny. I have the money, it's no sweat, I just want to buy tefillin, that's all I'm asking for. He said, you know, this isn't open for discussion. And I saw that he really meant it, so I figured maybe I'll say, okay, half. You know, half is at least picture somebody willing to give you a $400 present. You know, it's pretty wild, especially if you notice somebody is not in a position to give out $50 presents. The answer was no, and that's what it was left at. There was nothing to discuss. Here's two pairs of phone and jump in a lake, period. Now picture looking back, what if Chas V'Shalom I didn't tell him? In other words, he was in Stalik a few months after that. What if I didn't tell him? Picture living on another 30 years or 50 years, knowing you have to meet him over there, Chas V'Shalom, and he's going to ask why every other one of his Talmidim had tefillin that he got and I didn't. In other words, you lost it. I don't care if you lost it 10 times. You had the arrogance not to come over. Not to be humble enough to be able to say, well, I'm a dummy. I'm just dumb. In other words, you're right. I'm dumb. I did a stupid thing, you know. But you come over and say, I'm done. That's what's required at times. A person has to be able to show that behemoth hayisimach. That's what it says. Saying, looking back, the chesed of Hashem, to have been given the seichel to not react, the bushes, everything is gone. The net result is that it was a good experience. In other words, I got the burn, this halavai, the second burn should help. We should become less negligent, not lose things. But picture the satisfaction every time you take out a pair of tefillin to know that it was a gift from Rabbi Zal, number one, which in a sense is a good feeling, and at the same time to know that it was a test, and 5 out of 5 people said, don't you dare go over to him, and the relationship was complete, that through thick or thin, and I mean thick, again, you have to conjure up in your mind what it meant to go over to him at that time and to say, I did the worst. In other words, what could anybody tell him that they did that would have been worse than that? Like, no, that's how it looks to you at the time. Looking back now, baloney, you know, what you could have told him that's worse than that? That you're not willing to confide in him. That would have hurt him much more than losing 50 pairs of tefillin, than losing yitzitzis and tefillin being mechalshet. It would have been much worse than the fact that it's not Rebbe Talmud. You know, baloney, that after all the shiurim and all the work and all the tapes and everything, it's still baloney. You're still thinking for yourself. You're going to outsmart him. You're going to hide something. What if Chas V'Shalom, the way it works, the Gemara says, these kinds of people are given Ruach HaKadosh at times. They're given the power to see something if it's necessary for them, and they're not given permission to say it. And Al Pi Halacha, everything goes. You have the case of Rabbein Zal. He knew that his daughter had passed away. He wasn't allowed to say Shuv Al Pi Halacha until somebody told him. And he showed them clearly that he knew before. No question, he couldn't. The Shulchan Aruch says that if you're told through some other means, you don't sit Shiva. What if that would have happened? And a person thinks about that a little bit, you understand what's required. This is the requirement. There's no way of getting around it. If a person is capable of doing it, he goes through certain suffering, certain bizyanais, busha. Rabbein Zal brings Torah Vov and Likutei Moran, the Torah for Elul. We're finishing up Elul now. The Torah of Elul talks about the top part of the Aleph, the bottom part of the Aleph, the Rebbe, the Talmud. In the middle you have the Shemayim, which is the Gavnin, the Shvichas Domim. And Rav Nosson Zal says in Likutei Halachos, that in order to be a Talmud of a Rebbe, you have to go through a lot of bizyanais. A lot of bizyanais. The easy bizyanais are the ones that you get from parents, from relatives, from wives, from kids. The worst bizyanais are the bizyanais that you get from the Rebbe himself. When he shows you a little hisrachkus, there's no bigger bizyan than that. Or times when you have to come and tell him, Rebbe, I did this and this sin. Vito idvarim in front of a Talmud Chacham. You have to tell him, I turned on a light on Shabbos. I did some kind of horrible thing. The Pasuk says, Chamas melech malachim oves vish chacham yechabrano. Rabbi Nezal says, a person has to be open enough with his Rebbe to be able to tell him exactly how much hispoitedness he's having, how much hispoitedness he's not having, how much tikkun abris he's having, how much tikkun abris he's not having. Which means that if any one of us, at the time that Rebbe Zal was alive, wasn't open with him in the field of tikkun abris, let's say, to tell him clearly, I'm having these and these kinds of bad thoughts about this and this specific item, and I look at this and this, to be very clear and technical, that person wasn't the Talmud. And I'm talking about myself also. Now, once again, you have to look at what it says here, very honestly. This is what it says is required. You can't deny that if you would have told him, if you would have been open, he might have given you an etzah, he might have davened for you a little bit more than he did if you didn't tell him. And whatever we told him, we got advice for, we got help for. Whatever we didn't tell him, that's how much we were lacking in Bechinas Talmud, all of us. Halavai, we should be zeichet to make a new haschol on Avodas Hashem. Rabbi Nezal says, "Asei lecha rav, uknei lecha chover." That a person, the best item to do naturally is to have a Rebbe. What do you do if the Rebbe Zal is nifter? The Rebbe Zal passes away. So Rabbi Nosson says, number one, Knei lecha chover, ein mikro yetzei midei pshutoi. Knei lecha chover means that if you don't have a Rebbe, you have to pick out good chaverim. The Gemara says that a chaver, in some ways, is better than a Rebbe. There are certain things that a person can discuss with a chaver that he can't discuss with a Rebbe. Now picture what that means. That if this is how open you have to be with a Rebbe, how open they have to be with a chaver. As I mentioned recently to some people, there's a tzettel of Rebbe Elimelech, which is a very famous sefer. Rabbi Nezal said in Sichei Saran that there was a tzaddik, Rebbe Elimelech, who wrote the sefer Noyam Elimelech, which the Veld talks about. And Rabbi Nezal said, you should know that his sefer fakes out his greatness. From the sefer, you don't really know how great he was. He was actually, Rabbi Nezal said, by some people, the sefer is greater than the person. By some people, the person is greater than the sefer. Rabbi Nezal said, by him, there's no question at all that he was greater than the sefer. Rabbi Elimelech Zal wrote a tzettel. It's called the Tzettel of Rabbi Elimelech. It's printed in the back of the little siddurim. Those who have these little fat siddurim, on one of the back pages, you'll see they have it in all of these siddurim, and they give it out in pamphlets, fat siddurim. It's called the Tzettel of Rabbi Elimelech, where he lists about 15 points, outstanding points, which he says a person should live by totally. He says these are the items that the Talmidei HaBaal Shem, he was one of the Talmidim of the Magidzah. He says this is what he was in the Kabbalah from his Rebbe, this is how the Talmidei HaBaal Shem lived, and this is how he was Zecher to be Matzliach. And one of the items that he says there is that a person should speak out with his Meira Derech. Let's get this for a minute. It would be worth quoting. We have an opportunity to quote a tzaddik emes, sifsais of doivavois bekivrois, so that nobody could say we're making a mistake, we're adding a word or subtracting a word. Yadgimel. Lesaper b'chol pam lefnei hamira loiderech Hashem, a person should speak out at every opportunity to the one who's guiding him in avodas Hashem, kama, va'afilu lifnei chover ne'amon, and even to his trustworthy friends, kol hamachshavois v'hirhurim roim, any thoughts that he has, any bad thoughts, chas v'shalom, even related to znus that he has, asher heim neged Torah HaKdoshah, any thoughts that he has that are chas v'shalom keneged at Torah HaKdoshah, in other words, whether it be related to watching television, in other words, again, people, you're going to associate this with we're talking about us today, any problem, any difficulty that a person has that's neged at Torah HaKdoshah, he should speak out before his Meira Derech or Chaver Ne'amon, Asher Hayetzahora Mala Isay Al Moichay Valiboy, which the Yetzahora puts on his head, in his head or in his heart, Hein Bishas Tayru Tfila, Hein Bishoch Voyal Mitosai, whether it be while he's learning, or even when he goes to sleep on his bed, to be able to talk about those things to a Chaver Ne'amon, Vehein Be'em Tzahayoim, in middle of the day, at night, everything, Veloyalim Shum Dovor Machmas Habusha, and he should not conceal any item whatsoever, because he's embarrassed, he's ashamed to talk about it, it's too private, it's too personal, he shouldn't hide any item. Veninza al yedei sipur hadvorin, and what'll come out? Through the act of telling these things over, shemoitzi mikoyach el hapoyel, he brings the item out, mikoyach el hapoyel, in other words, this item was in thought or in theory, he brings it out, it becomes a maisa, it becomes a dibur,
Meshaber es koyach hayetzahora, that will help him to smash the koyach hayetzahora. Shelo yuchal lehizgaber olav kol kach bepam acheres, the yetzahora will not be able to be mizgaber against the person a second time. Once he'll do this, he'll find that the next day when the sultan comes to him with the same television, it's going to be easier to tell him, gay, go jump in a lake. If he has a close friend, then he tells him, clearly I have a problem, I come home on a Monday night, on a Tuesday, and I want to sit down and learn, and this is my taiva's television. My taiva's the refrigerator. I eat, and I get fat. And if he's capable of talking over every single item with a good friend, Rabbi Elimelech Zal says he'll be zeche to break, to be meshaber koyach yetzahara, shelo yuchal esgaber kol kach bepam acheres, chutz me etzo hatoivo asher yuchal lekabel mechaveroi. And besides the fact that he might be able to get a good etzo from his friend, which will help him dealing in reckoning with the problem. Hashem, he lists 17 items here. This is the only one out of the 17 where he writes for his segula nifla. And again, you want to be religious, you want to be a breslev chosid, you have to learn sforim, and you have to be able to apply it to yourself. We have that Torah Kuf Chafav, where it says, Ozomarti hinei bosi b'megila sefer kosuv olai, if a person learns, and whatever he learns, he applies to himself only, he ignores the rest of the world, it's talking to me personally, that's a simon that he wants to serve Hashem. And a person finds that it's difficult to do it, it means he's lacking in rotzlin to serve Hashem. He has to be mispal to Hashem, poiseach es yodecho, umazbiya lechol chai rotzlin. Shine into me a rotzlin to serve you. I see that the tzaddikim give etzais. Notice, you figure once a person gives you the solution to your problem, there's no more problem. But that's not all. I'm given the solution, right? And I'm too dumb or too lazy or too embarrassed, or I have different reasons why I don't even want to follow the etzais. The etzais, I have a problem, I have a solution, I can't do the solution. Person's sick, the doctor gives him medicine, he can't swallow the medicine, it's bitter. What do you do then? That person, Rahman al-Salam, he goes straight to the grave. If you don't have the guts to be able to take that minute of bitterness, to take the medicine, chas v'shalom, then you're going to die from the sickness. Elamai, sometimes the medicine is mild, it's bitter. A person is zeicha to receive the etzah, and then to dam Hashem, please let me be zeicha to learn the etzahs of tzaddikim and to follow their etzahs. Ashrei to that person. We should be zeicha. Tomorrow night is Rosh Hashanah. We should all be zeicha to come into Rosh Hashanah like real breslov chassidim. We should be zeicha to learn this sefer, to be mevatel our das to the sefer. Kol hashayomar ki hu zeh, exactly what Rabbeinu Zal said, what our Rebbe Zichron Levracha told us, to be able to be mevatel our das to him, and to be zricha thereby to give the tzaddik amitim nachas, to get to see the coming of Moshiach, the being besmeitu shmer v'amen, amen v'amen. Besmeitu shmer v'amen, amen v'amen.